ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا،
من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، so now we talk about Jum'ah inshallah, and as I said, we were doing this discussion of the prayer from this book Al-Wajiz a while back. Actually, we got to this point of Jum'ah 3 years ago in October 2000. So, but we did not finish just a small part of the Jum'ah. So for the sake of having complete set of tapes, inshallah, we for the sake of Allah, of course, before anything else, we go over Jum'ah, over the subject of Jum'ah quickly, and then conclude it by covering the last part that we did not cover in the previous round. Attending Jum'ah is a fard on every Muslim, except 5 types of people: a slave, a woman, a child, a sick person, or a traveler. And it is an obligation on the believers because of Allah's command, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ. It's a command. When the call for the prayer of Jum'ah on the day of Jum'ah is made, then hasten to the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, to the prayer and to the khutbah, and drop any worldly occupations. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, leave trading. ذَيْكُمْ خَيْرَ لَكُمْ إِنْ تَعْلَمُونَ, well, that's better for you if you know it. Ibn Umar reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمُسَافِرِ جُمْعَةٌ, a traveler does not have a Jum'ah, which means does not have to pray it, he is not required, but if he prays it, it is acceptable from him, of course. And Tariq bin Shihab reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, الْجُمْعَةُ حَقٌ وَاجِبٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ فِي جَمَعَةٍ إِلَّا أَرْبَعَ, عَبْدٌ مَمْلُوكٌ أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٌ أَوْ صَبِيٌّ أَوْ مَرِيضٌ. Jum'ah is an obligatory right on every believer that he prays it in Jama'ah, except for two types of people: a slave, an own slave, a woman, a child, and a sick person. And it is the Prophet ﷺ encouraged coming to the Jum'ah prayer and mentioned the reward for it by saying, مَنْ اِغْتَسَلَ ثُمَّ أَتَى الْجُمْعَةَ فَصَلَّى مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ ثُمَّ أَنْصَتَ حَتَّى يَفْرُغَ مِنْ خُطْبَتِهِ ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي مَعَهُ غُفِرَ لَهُ بَيْنَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَالْجُمْعَةِ الْأُخْرَى مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجُمْعَةِ الْأُخْرَى وَفَضْلُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ. Which means whoever performs ghusl then comes to the Jum'ah, which means to the masjid where the Jum'ah is being given, and prays as much as is made possible for him, and then listens until he finishes his khutbah, which means the imam finishes his khutbah. Then he prays with him, and if he falls in with the prayer, then he will be forgiven, his sins will be forgiven from that Jum'ah to the Jum'ah before it, which means, I think we discussed this before, that this refers to the Jum'ah before it and not after it. Al-Jum'ah al-Ukhra means the previous Jum'ah. There is a hadith which mentions this clearly. So he will be forgiven, his sins will be forgiven between that Jummah and the previous Jummah for a whole week. وَفَضْلُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ, and also 3 additional days. And some ulama say this is because a hasana is multiplied 10 times. So a day is multiplied 10 times, that makes 10 days. So that's from a week plus 3 days. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet ﷺ warned against dropping Jummah. For instance, he said, as reported by Ibn Umar and Abu Hurairah, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ وَدْعِيهِمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ أَوْ لَيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ ثُمَّ لَيَكُونُنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Which means, those people, some people will have to stop missing Jumu'at, which means Jumu'at prayers, or else Allah will seal their hearts, which means their hearts will be prevented from seeing the truth. ثُمَّ لَيَكُونُنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, and then they will be among the unaware, among those who cannot see the light of truth. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported that the Prophet ﷺ said in regard to people who miss Jummah, I was about to command a man to lead the people in the prayer and then go and burn the houses of those men who stay in their houses and miss Jummah prayer. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَرَكَ ثَلَاثَ جُمَعَ تَهَاوُنًا بِهَا طُبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ. Whoever drops or misses 3 Jummahs, تَهَاوُنًا, which means belittling it, the importance of it, of the Jummah, then Allah will seal his heart. This is similar to the previous hadith. The time of Jummah is the same as the time of Dhuhr, but it is permissible to pray it before that. Anas reported that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray Jummah when the sun declined, which means after the time of Dhuhr, when the time of Dhuhr started. That's when Dhuhr starts, when the sun declines from the zenith of the sky. So it's the same for Jummah. He used to pray it at this time. And Jabir ibn Abdullah was asked, when did Rasulullah pray Jummah? He said, كان يصلي ثم نذهب إلى جمالنا فنريحها حين تزول الشمس. Which means he used to pray and finish, which means pray, finish the prayer and the khutbah and the prayer, and then we would go to our camels and make them rest, which means sit down and rest the camels at the time when the sun declines, which means they finished everything before the time of Dhuhr. They finished all Jummah, Khutbah and everything before even the time of Dhuhr came. So it is permissible to pray Jummah before the Dhuhr time. This hadith is recorded by Muslim. So those people who insist that they must pray Jummah before Dhuhr, they are wrong, of course, because there is a clear hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in this regard. There is even some of the opinions, like Ibn Hazm, rahimullah, is of the opinion that the time of Jummah is the same as the time of Eid prayer. So he says the time of Eid starts from the sunrise, or like half an hour after sunrise until Asr time. He says this is all a permissible time for Jummah. So Allahu A'lam. But I mean, as we said, the common time that the Prophet ﷺ prayed it at was Dhuhr time or around it, a little before it. Okay, so it's permissible to pray it at any time around the Dhuhr time. And it is obligatory to give a khutbah for Jummah, because this is how the Prophet ﷺ did. Yeah, that's what I said. It's permissible. Yeah, the sun is in Dhuhr. Yeah, this is an exception. Yeah. It's an obligation to listen during the khutbah, and it is prohibited to talk while the imam is giving the khutbah. Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَاحِبِكَ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ أَنْصِتْ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُبْ فَقَدْ لَغَوْتْ. Which means, if you tell your companion, your friend, during Jum'ah, be quiet or listen while the imam is giving the khutbah, then you have said some words that are contradictory to the importance of the prayer, or that they disagree with the prayer. Lahu. Lahu means worthless talk. So you have said some worthless or unimportant things. And there is a hadith that I haven't heard for a while. I'm not sure of its authenticity right now. I need to verify it. Which says, to the beard is book. It's about Tahara and prayer. Does it cover Jum'ah? Yeah, it doesn't cover Jum'ah. The second volume of this. The hadith says that من لغى فقتل جمعة له. The one who commits lahu, then his Jum'ah is invalid. We used to hear this a lot when we were young, and like many things that we used to hear, we find that they use them, say them without being authentic. So it could be not authentic, but it needs to be verified. Allahu a'lam. That if a person speaks any, says anything during Jum'ah, his Jum'ah is invalidated. Allahu a'lam. And I haven't. If it was so, I would have expected him to cite this hadith here, if it was authentic. But anyway, lahu, in the least, we can say that it is in contradiction to the import, attention, contradicts the attention of the prayer and the khutbah, and therefore it violates the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the people who come to Jum'ah, that they have to listen to the dhikr, and even the ayah fasa'u ila dhikri Allah, hasten to the dhikr of Allah, means the khutbah and the prayer, and not only the prayer, that a person has to keep attention or listen carefully during the Jum'ah. And this shows that there are things that would normally be obligatory, but during Jum'ah they are not. And among them is the commanding good and forbidding evil. Like when a person is talking during the khutbah, and you tell him, be silent, listen, that's commanding good, telling him to do something good, because he has to avoid lahu in his Jum'ah. So normally this is a good thing to do, but during Jum'ah it's not good. You are not allowed to speak to him. So an obligation is dropped by a higher obligation during Jum'ah. Okay, so the listening to the imam overrides commanding good during the Jum'ah prayer. And similarly, we would say that if somebody comes and says salam alaikum, you are not required to say wa alaikum salam during Jum'ah, because you are supposed to be listening, and he is not supposed to disturb the people by saying salam to them during Jum'ah. Jum'ah prayer is of course 2 rak'ahs, and whoever misses the first rak'ah, or whoever misses 2 rak'ahs is the imam, then he missed the whole Jum'ah, and he has to make it up as Zuhr. He has to pray 4 rak'ahs like he prays Zuhr, because the Prophet ﷺ said, من أدرك ركعة من صلاة الجمعة فقد أدرك الصلاة. Whoever catches 1 rak'ah of Jum'ah prayer, he has caught up the prayer, which means the prayer is considered as Jum'ah prayer for him. So all he needs to do is make up 1 rak'ah. But if he does not catch even 1 rak'ah, then he missed the whole Jum'ah. Like if a person comes after the imam finishes the ruku' of the second rak'ah and he's sitting in tashahud, then this person has not caught up with the Jum'ah prayer, and he has, when he gets up to make up what he missed, he has to make up 4 rakat, not 2 rakat. The nafil or sunnah prayer before and after Jum'ah. Before Jum'ah prayer, there is no limit to how many rakat of nafil or sunnah prayer you can pray, as you heard from the earlier hadith. ثم يصلي ما قدر له فصلى ما قدر له, which means he prays as much as is made possible for him, or as has been decreed for him to pray. So such a person who prays, who comes early to the masjid and he prays 4 or 6 or 10 or 12 or 20 rakat before Jum'ah, like he came real early to the Jum'ah prayer, then that is fine, he is fine, that's acceptable and permissible. But as for the people who think that there is a specific required sunnah before Jum'ah that has to be a certain number of rak'ah, there is no proof for this. So it is an unrestricted prayer that can be any number of rak'ah. And to restrict it by saying 2 rak'at or 4 rak'at, or thinking that Jum'ah is like Dhuhr prayer, so as soon as the Adhan is given for Dhuhr, then they stand up then and pray 2 rak'at or 4 rak'at, this is wrong. This is not of the Sunnah of Jum'ah prayer. The Sunnah of Jum'ah prayer is to pray unlimited number of rak'at as Allah Azza wa Jal allows a person to pray. As for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to come to the masjid, and as soon as he comes, he goes straight to the minbar and he sits on the minbar, and Bilal gives the adhan. And then as soon as Bilal finishes, he would start with the khutbah. Okay? So that was the only adhan that he gave, which means that there is no time where people would stand up and start praying sunnah before the Jum'ah. As for after Jum'ah prayer, it is recommended to pray at least 2 rak'at, and 4 is better. So either 2 or 4 rak'at. Abu Hurairah reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you prays Jum'ah, let him pray after it 4 rak'at. And Ibn Umar reported that the Prophet ﷺ did not pray after Jum'ah anything until he went out from the masjid, and then he would pray 2 rak'at in his home. So the Prophet ﷺ, it is reported from this by Ibn Umar that he was consisted in praying 2 rak'at in his home after Jum'ah. Now, did he pray all the 4? And Ibn Umar did not report except 2. We don't know. But from his statement, which is stronger, of course, than his action, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Whoever prays Jum'ah, let him pray after it 4 rak'at." So that means it is better, or the sunnah, to pray 4 rak'at. But if, of course, I mean, since it is a voluntary prayer, if one prays 2 rak'at, then this is still acceptable, inshallah. Okay, it's recommended for the person who comes to Jum'ah to perform a ghusl, a bath, and clean himself to the best possible way, and then put some perfume, and then go to the masjid and does not separate between the people, which means does not pass between people who are sitting next to each other, which means he does not walk over the backs or the shoulders of the people. Yani he should not disturb, he should avoid disturbing the people, because let's say somebody is making dhikr, reading the Quran, making dua, and then you come and you ask him, "Please let me pass." You tap him on his shoulder or you push him aside so that you can go through. By this you disturb him and you interrupt his dua and dhikr. And this is considered as something that diminishes or reduces the ajr of Jummah. So one should try to avoid it. So if a person avoids this and then he prays as much as is recorded for him, etc., as we said in the earlier hadith, then his sins will be forgiven for 10 days. It's also recommended to wear the best of his clothes for Jummah. And it is recommended to come as early as possible. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that there are people who there are angels at the doors of the masjid who write the names or record the people who come to Jummah, the first, then the next, then the next. When the imam sits on the minbar preparing to start the khutbah, then they fold their records and they come close to listen to the zikr, to the khutbah. So when the imam sits on the minbar, they stop. It's not when the imam starts his khutbah. So one should try to come to the masjid before the beginning of the, before the imam's sitting on the minbar. And the earlier that a person comes, the greater is his reward. The one who comes very early is like a person who has offered a sacrifice, a badana. Badana means jamal, a camel. And then the next people who come after that, it's like they offered a cow, then a ram, then a hen, or a chicken, then an egg. This is in Sahih Muslim and others. It is recommended to make a lot of salah on the Prophet ﷺ on Jummah. The Prophet ﷺ said, among the best of your days is the day of Jummah. On it, which is on a Jummah, Adam was created and he was Qubid, which means he died. And the nafkha, the blow of the horn, will be on a Jummah. And as-saqa, and the shock that will happen to the people so that they will fall unconscious, will be also on Jummah. So say salah on me on this day in plenty. Now this hadith, there is another report of it, and Allahu A'lam, maybe in this report that part has been dropped, because there is another hadith which is authentic that says also, I was born on Jummah and I was sent as a messenger on Jummah. So on Jummah he was sent as a messenger, which means his message started on the Jummah. And then he says, therefore say plenty of salah on me, because then it makes more sense, or more it flows better with the text. That why is he saying say a lot of salah on me on Jummah? Because I was sent on that day, my message started on the Jummah. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ مَعْرُوضَةٌ عَلَيْهِ, because indeed your salah will be presented to me. And he said, how will this happen when you have your body has rotten? And he said, indeed Allah has prohibited the earth from eating the bodies of the prophets. It is recommended to read Surah Al-Kahf on Jummah. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on the day of Jummah, a light will be lighted for him between the two Jummahs, which means between that and the following Jummah, for a whole week he will have light and guidance in front of him. And also it is recommended to make a lot of dua on the day of Jummah, especially the last hour of Jummah, just before sunset. Jabir reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, the day of Jummah is 12 hours, and there is
1 hour of these 12 hours that no Muslim servant will be making in it dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, but Allah will grant him this, what he asked for, and seek that hour on the last hour, or that period on the last hour of Jum'ah after Salat al-Asr. This is recorded by Abu Dawood and Muslim and others. So here he clearly says, alayhi salatu wassalam, that you should seek this hour before sunset. There are more detailed narrations which say that whenever a believing servant is in that hour praying to Allah Azza wa Jal, then making dua and praying to Allah, then Allah will answer his dua. And he was asked, alayhi salatu wassalam, how could we pray when you told us not to pray at that time? And he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, whenever a person is waiting for the prayer, then he is in prayer. So even though it is just before sunset, one can be sitting and making dua, waiting for the prayer, and he will count like he is in prayer. In other words, it's recommended to be in this situation where you are waiting for the prayer and making dua, then inshallah that dua will be acceptable. Okay, the last part, this is where we got, I believe, in the previous run of this subject 3 years ago. So now we continue from here about, you know, cover the last part of this chapter, which is two small sections. The first one, Al-Jum'ah fil Masjid al-Jami', which means Jum'ah is to be held in a Masjid Jami', which means a gathering masjid, not in any masjid, but a masjid, not in a musalla or things like this, but in a big masjid that can take large numbers of people. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَمْتَابُونَ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ مِنْ مَنَازِلِهِمْ وَالْعَوَالِي, which means the people used to come for Jum'ah, which means at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, used to come for Jum'ah, which means in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, from their homes and their suburbs, which means the musalla or the little masjid that they have among their houses, or the awali, the suburbs of the Medina. They would leave those and come and attend the Jum'ah in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. And Atta ibn Abi Rabah reported, كان أهل منى أو منى يحضرون الجمعة بمكة. The people of Mina used to attend Jum'ah in Mecca. And he is probably referring to Hajj, during Hajj, because other than Hajj there are no people in Mina. Mina is not like a town where people reside in it. It is only alive during Hajj, otherwise it's just an empty land. Okay, so that must be referring to Hajj, and it's saying that the people used to come to Jum'ah in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, but it doesn't mean that they could not have prayed in Masjid al-Khayf, because Masjid al-Khayf is also in Masjid Jama, and it means that the people would not, even though they are travelers, many of them, and they are in situation of Hajj, but they used to attend Jum'ah in the masjid, in live masjids, like Masjid al-Khayf, like Masjid al-Haram. But this, you know, I don't see that this statement here, or this report by Atta, that it is very strong in proving the point that we are talking about. Rather, the hadith of Aisha is the one that is strong in this regard. Az-Zuhri, I skipped the statement of Zuhri. He said, إِنَّ أَهْلَ ذِي الْحُلَيْفَ كَانُوا يَجْتَمِعُونَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى مَسِيرَةِ سِتَّةِ أَمْيَالٍ مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ. He said that the people of ذِي الْحُلَيْفَ, الْحُلَيْفَ is 6 miles by their miles. Their miles were more than our current mind, as far as I remember, but I don't remember now the exact distance of that mind. But they were at some distance from Al-Madina, the people of Dhul-Halayfa, which means people who live at the Miqat, where a person starts his ihram if he's leaving from Medina going to Mecca. So there's a point outside Medina, a number of miles outside, 6 miles, maybe in today's measurements of miles it'll be 10 miles or so, whatever it is. But he's saying they used to come from this distance to attend the Jummah prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, Jummah is different from the regular Jama'ah prayer in that you go, you travel some distance to attend it. And it's not like the regular Jama'ah prayer where you have to be in a place close to the masjid, in the vicinity of the masjid, so that you can hear the adhan in order to attend it. The Jummah is has its specialty in this regard. And the Hafiz said in a tawfiz, لم ينقل أن النبي أذن لأحد في إقامة الجمعة في شيء من مساجد المدينة ولا في القرى التي قربها. Which means it has not been reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم permitted anyone to establish a Jum'ah prayer in any of the masajid of Medina or in the villages that are close to it. So there is no Jum'ah prayer to be established anywhere around the Medina except the one that is in Masjid al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those days. Now in our time you find that they are very close masajid to each other and still they pray Jum'ah, all of them. And the reason is mostly because of the large numbers of people that so that you cannot accommodate them in one masjid. And you find in some areas, in some places, that because of the large numbers of people and the scarcity of masajid, that people pray more than one Jummah in one masjid. Here in the States, I know that this is the case in some of the East Coast places, like in Virginia and Washington D.C., where people have two or three Jummahs in a row. Like they pray Jummah and they leave, and then other people come and maybe the same or another imam, they come and they have another Jummah, and then they finish and leave, and then another group comes, because the masjid cannot take everybody together at the same time, and the place is so crowded they cannot, I mean the city will not allow too many cars, too many people, etc. So they have to do it like this. So they do it in a number of masajid on the East Coast and maybe other parts of the country as well. In the Islamic terminology, they call al-Masjid al-Jama, al-Masjid al-Jama, the masjid that gathers the people, they call it, which means the masjid for Jummah, they call it Masjid Jama, and sometimes they just call it Jama. And sometimes, you know, in many Muslim countries, when they talk about masjid, they say Jama. I'm going to the Jama. To the Jama. Because most of the masajid became like Jama, because people pray Jummah in them. I know that this is the case, for example, in Lebanon. That every single masjid is also Jama, because people pray Jummah in the masjid, even if they are on two opposite corners of the same street. They will still pray Jummah in both masajid, because the masajid are relatively limited in number. But in places like Saudi Arabia, for example, you see that this still is applicable, where you find that some masajid will be closed down in Jummah. Nobody prays in them at Jummah prayer. And everybody goes to the larger masajid for Jummah. Okay, what happens if the Jummah and the Eid happen to be on the same? What do you do if the Jummah and the Eid come on the same day? If this happens, that the Eid happens to be on a Jummah, then the Jummah becomes optional. The Eid prayer is an obligation on Muslims to attend, as you will see when we discuss the Eid prayer. But the Jummah, and the Jummah is an obligation, but because the Eid has already been attended by the Muslims, then the second obligation, the Jummah, becomes an option. as is reported by Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed Eid prayer and then he gave the option in regard to Jummah, and he said whoever wishes to pray, let him pray. Whoever wishes to pray Jummah, let him pray. And Abu Hurairah reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said قَدْ اجْتَمَعَ فِي يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا عِيدًا. There are two Eids that have coincided in this day. فَمَنْ شَاءَ أَجْزَأَهُ مِنَ الْجُمْعَةِ. And whoever wishes to chooses this, then the Eid prayer has waived for him the Jummah. He does not have to pray Jummah. وَإِنَّا مُجَمِّعُونَ. But as for us, we will pray Jummah. So this means that the Imam should pray Jummah, even though he gives the option to other people, but there should be a Jummah established, and it is a fard kifayah on the Ummah, which means we cannot close the masjid and say, okay, now it is Jummah and Eid together, so we will not have Jummah today and we will shut down the masjid. No. The Muslims still have to establish a Jummah, even if very few people will attend it. Okay? So that's it. And the hadith shows that he gave the option for Jummah. Some people say he gave the option for Jummah, but he did not say that you do not pray anything, because you can still pray Zuhr, but there is no proof for this. The Prophet ﷺ clearly said that you have the option to pray Jummah or not to pray. And there is no Zuhr prayer on Jummah day. There is for the men. All what they have is the Jummah prayer. So if it's waived for them, then they cannot pray anything until Asr. My question will be, what about women? Women who do not come to Jummah anyway, then they pray Zuhr in their houses. And what if they prayed Jummah in the masjid? Then this will cancel their Zuhr in the house. They do not have to pray at the house. What if they have prayed Eid with the Muslims in the morning? Then say applies to them. They do not have to pray Zuhr, they do not have to pray Jummah. Okay? Allah Ta'ala. So this ends the discussion of prayer, except for the Eid prayer. And this we can talk about it, inshaAllah. We talk about it in one sitting next time so that we can conclude the subject of prayer.
They mean Abdullah ibn Umar or Abdullah ibn...
Yeah, when they say Abdullah, they mean Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. If they do not say his kunya, his father's name, then it is known to be a convention. The convention is that it means Abdullah ibn Mas'ud.
See, the reward you said, like, the person will get the reward, it's like one camel. Mm-hmm. It's like first person, or it's like our time, how...
No, there is another hadith which says it more clearly. It says the one that talks about the Jummah being 12 hours. He says the day of Jummah is 12 hours. So whoever comes on the first hour, it's as if he sacrificed a camel. The one who comes the second hour is like he sacrificed a cow, and then third hour, fourth hour, fifth hour, and then it doesn't mention anything in between, like what is 6, 7, 8, 9. No, actually it says first hour like a camel, second hour like a cow, third hour like a goat, I think, is a ram, fourth hour like a chicken, fifth hour like an egg. So that's 5 hours. And let's say the Jummah is prayed between 11 and 12 in most places, of the places that Prophet was talking about. They usually pray 11. So he's talking the first hour is around 7 in the morning. Then 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So the one who goes to the masjid real early, like right after Fajr prayer, he prays Fajr, he takes his bath, and then he goes to the masjid. That's like offering a camel.
In our time, it's not empty.
Same thing. There are 12 hours, so if you go at 7 or 8 in the morning, 9 maybe, because they pray on Jummah, 2, then the sun will not.
Zuhr comes around 1:30 in this area. Now in Saudi Arabia, Zuhr comes in usually around 11:30 or 11:45, if I remember correctly. So here it comes in these days of the, because they change the clock in the summer, at around 1:30. So go back 5 hours from that. Look, I mean, that's a rough thing. It's not like a clear-cut thing that you say now, it is, I'm within the hour of the camel, and then I'm within the car. 1 minute later, I will be within the hour of the cow. No, it's not like this. It's a rough estimate or evaluation that the first hour is the person who came very, very early, not too far from Fajr, around this time, and the person comes to the Masjid around this time, like within an hour from the sunrise, from sunrise. Now this is the best thing for the, get the greatest reward. Then the one who comes next and next and next. And as we know, it's not easy. It's not an obligation. And most people, very rare people, would probably be in position to come 5 hours or 4 hours or 3 hours or even 2 hours. You may find people coming 1 hour before Jummah, but 2 hours and three, that's very hard for most people. Allahu Akbar. Okay, so. Yeah, the Imam may answer, the other people should not answer the Salah. Yeah, if you are talking to the Imam, it's okay. If the Imam is saying something and you correct him, or you help him, or you respond to him, he asks you and you answer him, and so on, then this does not violate the paying attention to Jummah, because you are talking to the Imam who you are supposed to be listening to. So you are still listening because you know what he's saying and you are talking to him. But what is prohibited is to talk to other people, make side talks while the Imam is talking. And there are many reports in the Sunnah of people talking to the Imam and he talking to them while Jummah, like the case where Uthman came into the Masjid and the Prophet Umar stopped his khutbah and he said, why are you coming late? And he said, I have only, we went over it last time, right?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, so that was during the khutbah and they were talking to each other, so that's okay.
And
they arrived and came and told the Prophet about the rain and the drought that the Prophet made dua. And there are many other examples. Yes.
I think leaving the salah when entering is not okay.
Leaving the what?
No, giving the salah to the people when entering.
No, it shouldn't be. But he's saying if somebody comes in and says salam to the Imam likes it. Even though he shouldn't do it because he may disturb other people. But one should pray, I think I mentioned this thing, that even though there are many obligations that are dropped here in Jummah, but the obligation of paying Tahiyat al-Masjid, the two rak'ats of greeting of the Masjid, is not dropped by. Because of the khutbah, the Imam has started his khutbah. Rather, one should still pray them, because once the Prophet ﷺ was giving the khutbah, and a man came into the Masjid and sat down, and the Prophet ﷺ stopped his khutbah and looked at him, and he said, have you prayed two rak'at? And he said, no. So the Prophet ﷺ said, get up and pray two rak'at. It was during Jummah. And then he said, whoever of you comes to the Masjid on Jummah while the Imam is giving khutbah, then let him pray, not let him not sit until he prays two rak'ahs, and let him make them short. While yet the job was few. Allahu Akbar.
About the
khutbah,
that
What does it mean?
Yes.
That is. Oh, it means that the way you clarify things could be like magic. So he's saying that do not make your khutbah too long. He says, إِنَّ طُولَ صَلَاتِ الرَّجُلِ وَقِصَرَ خُطْبَتِهِ مَإِنَّةٌ مِّنْ فِقْهِ, which means the length of the prayers of a man's prayer and the shortness of his khutbah is an indication of his fiqh, of his understanding. So make the prayer long and shorten the khutbah, and indeed there is of the clarification of the bayan of the eloquence, there is magic in it. Which, in other words, he's saying if a person has good understanding and good ability, then he can explain lots of things to the people and he can make them see things with less words. So he can say less words and they can understand more. He can transmit the ideas better to them. But a person who doesn't have much knowledge and much ability to clarify things, then he will talk and beat around the bush for such a long time and hardly be able to deliver the idea to the people. So he may spend half an hour, 1 hour explaining a short idea that can be said in 2 words. Okay, so he's saying that try to do it so that your khutbah is short by imparting, delivering the ideas to the people in a clear way and a short way. And then make your prayer long, because this is also the sunnah is to make the prayer long, not to make it short.
And you would read sometimes Surah Al-Fath, Surah Al-Qamar, sometimes Jum'ah, Surah Al-Jum'ah.
No, Qaf al-Qamar? I don't think in Jum'ah. Where did you read it here?
I read
that's in Eid prayer.
That's in Eid prayer?
Yeah, Eid prayer. You would read Qaf in the first rak'ah, and Qamar in the second rak'ah, or Subbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la Al-Ghashi. But in Jum'ah, he would read Subhas Marabika Al and Al Ghashiya or Al Jum'ah and Al Munafiq.
And I'm not sure the hadith, but I heard some hadith meaning Sajjah is prohibited on Sajjah.
It's not hadith, it is, but the ulama say that it is not. Sajjah means, you know, to speak in a way that you are ending, making the words rhyme. Like you say, أيها الناس, some of the sayings of the, or one of the words of the old Arabs, he used to say, ما فات فات وما هو آت آت, يعني فذهبوا مثلا, and for example, he didn't say this, but he said that part, فذهبوا إلى الفلوات وانظروا إلى النبات, and he uses the same rhythm rhyme at the end of every word. It's called Sajjah. So this, many people when they give a khutbah they do this, and you find this mostly in the time ages of decline of Islam, starting from the Abbasid times and after that until the Ottoman time and after them, that people would give a khutbah in a rhyming way, but they sometimes make sure that the words rhyme even though the meaning doesn't give much sense, or sometimes they're just repeating words. Just, you know, it becomes the intention becomes more to say, is concentrated, the attention is directed more to selecting the word than to selecting the meanings. And as you see, there's a lot of places in the Quran where the words rhyme at the end of the ayat, but
This is not the intention, and that's why you find many times Allah will break the line and continues like in Surah Al-Nisa, for example. Even though every ayah starts with Alif at the end, Rahim, etc. Ya Ayyuhan Nas. Yeah, exactly. Surah Al-Ahzab, even though it rhymes with an alif at the end, but sometimes Allah just breaks the rhyme and He says a word that does not rhyme with the rest. To show us that this is, the intention is not to rhyme, the intention is the meaning. But if they rhyme sometimes, then this is good for the ear. I mean, it can remember the words better and it goes close more smoothly. But if one makes this the goal instead of the meanings, then this is wrong. And this is what people have come to do in many places, many times in their khutbah. So this is all, this is prohibited according to the Allah.
If you
have Surah
Al-Fatiha, it can be the Thursday after Maghrib,
Surah what?
Kahf? You know, Surah Al-Kahf, right?
Al-Kahf. No, it should be day of Jummah. And day of Jummah starts from the Fajr of Jummah. So, from the Fajr of Jummah, that's when the day, the actual day, not the 24-hour day. So day means the light, the daylight day. So it's from Fajr of Jummah until sunset. Allahu Akbar. And sometimes the Prophet ﷺ used to give read Surah Qaf during the khutbah, not during the prayer. So as in the hadith of, where is it? This is reported by Hisham bint al-Harth bin al-Nu'man. She said, I have not memorized Surah Qaf, but from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ, because he used to use it as his khutbah during Jummah. So during the khutbah he would just recite Surah Qaf, because it has such powerful meanings that if people just understand these meanings, that's enough to remind them and shake them and push them to fearing Allah Azza wa Jal and doing good, which is the purpose of the khutbah anyways. Okay, so we will stop here inshallah. بذل زمان الأرض استغفر الله سبحانه وتعالى بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.